foods that we like. It's not my absolute favorite, but it's what I think is fun to eat. So I've got raw beef and onions and, of course, the salt and pepper for our cannibal sandwiches. I brought this for us to share. I thought that was our plan. I thought we were each supposed to bring our one of the foods that we like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you one food that I like is my mom's tuna noodle casserole. I don't know why, because I never really like tuna or a lot of the stuff that's in it, but that is one of my favorite foods to eat.
Well, where is it?
Well, I didn't have time to make it this morning, and I didn't think you guys would want any at 8 o'clock.
I grew up in a family of 10, so I had way too many casseroles. So here's the best food in the world. My dad's barbecue chicken, my mom's potato salad with lots of dill pickle, and the orange jello with carrot strips and pineapple in it.
Okay.
Best food in the history of the world.
It is really interesting, isn't it, how we have different tastes in food?
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, if we were supposed to talk about one of our least favorite foods, mine would be the jello with the carrot strips in it.
That's one of mine, too. And also Ethiopian food. I just can't stand Ethiopian food.
Okay. Well, for me, it's green peppers. My wife eats them raw. I call them icky green things. And beets in any way, shape, or form. No way, no way, no way, no way. We're talking about food today. So why are we talking about food today and all year? Well, it's real simple. Food is kind of important, isn't it? I probably wouldn't go out on a real big limb if I were going to say that every one of us today, we will think about food or we will talk about food.
You know what I was thinking of? I know this isn't in our script, but sometimes during the sermon, my mind wanders to food. I don't have to worry about it today. We're not only going to think about it, but I'm sure many of us are going to want to eat food today, maybe even a lot.
Food is crucial to our lives, our health, our survival, not to mention that we like it. Food is so important that Jesus taught us to pray to our Heavenly Father, "Give us this day our daily bread." Food is a daily part of life and also a daily part of our relationship with God.
As Pastor Paul mentioned, this year, our Sunday school children will learn all about food as part of their theme, Serving in God's Diner. The Bible talks a lot about food. Our daily bread is one part of God's blessing to us. And God calls us to treat food as part of our caring relationship with others.
The Bible talks about food in many literal ways, like in that lesson we heard from Numbers 11. The people of Israel are recently freed from slavery in Egypt, but now they're facing uncertainties as God's free people in the wilderness. And they do what we can be really good at. They whine.
They whine about all the good food they had back in Egypt. In fact, this is what the verse said. The rabble among them had a strong craving. We still have strong food cravings today, right? So, what were the people of Israel craving?
We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks and onions and the garlic. You know, it really wasn't so bad being a slave. Sure, the Egyptians beat us and worked us to death, but we had leeks.
Now, in the wilderness, they have a different diet. Notice this verse. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. They don't even want to eat it. They just look at it like a disgusted child pushing around a plate of peas. Manna, yuck. I'm not eating it.
You see, food has a very powerful strength to it. We have to remember in biblical times, those were times when food could be very scarce. Poverty, drought, and poor farming practices often could lead to lean times. In fact, I went through my Bible concordance this week, and there are over 20 references in the Old Testament alone to famine. Simply put, Obesity was not a problem for the typical ancient Israelite.
But having a full stomach was a problem.
That's why God promised to lead his people, the Israelites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a place where they wouldn't be hungry. A land flowing with milk and honey, a little step above a slave's diet of leeks and onions.
Psalm 23, which starts out filled with images of a shepherd and his sheep, ends up with a banquet scene. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. A safe and sound relationship in the presence of God is seen in terms of having enough to eat and a safe place to eat it.
Food is important in the Bible in very real and physical ways, but the Bible also speaks of food in symbolic ways.
Prophet Jeremiah says these words as he equates the people of Israel, their sins, to food. He says, "The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. The sins of the parents," he says, "will lead to difficulty for their children." And do you notice that phrase, sour grapes? That's one we still use today, don't we?
The prophet Hosea denounces the evil leaders of Israel, saying that they feed on sin.
Jesus used food images symbolically a great deal. He called himself the bread of life in today's gospel.
And in John chapter 15, Jesus calls himself the true vine. And he tells everyone who would follow him that they need to produce the fruit that comes from him.
Jesus several times used the image of a feast to give a little hint at how wonderful heaven will be. As you can see, food is a big deal in the Bible.
So, food is mentioned many times in the Bible. In fact, the Gospel of Luke shares so many times that Jesus dined with others that it's sometimes said Jesus ate his way through the Gospel of Luke.
Let's see if we can name some of the people Jesus ate with. I bet some stories have already been coming to your mind, like about how Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And there was another group of 4,000 that Jesus fed too.
And according to Luke's gospel, Jesus invited a lot of invitations to dinner, especially at the homes of Pharisees. Now the Pharisees, if you know, they were religious leaders who were opposed to Jesus. They said you had to keep God's law strictly, and they didn't want to have anything to do with those who were non-Jews. Those dinners, I would imagine, were pretty stressful, as the Pharisees who were opposed to Jesus were trying to find ways to trip him up, to challenge his actions and his thoughts.
Some of the women, especially from our Bible study morning group, know that one of my favorite Bible stories is about Jesus coming to the home of Martha and Mary's house for dinner. In contrast to the homes of the Pharisees, this is probably a place, along with their brother Lazarus, they loved to have Jesus come. And I think Jesus could kind of put his feet up there and relax and enjoy the time and the meal with them.
Needless to say, Jesus shared a lot of meals with his disciples. It's hard to imagine how many fish fries they shared over the years they were together. Do you ever wonder if one of the disciples was a really great cook or if they all had to take turns?
I kind of like picturing the time that Jesus and the disciples were walking past grain fields on the Sabbath day, and they got in trouble with the Pharisees because they picked the heads off of the top and ate them. After resurrection, Jesus used eating as one of the ways to show his disciples that he was truly alive again. I bet that when Jesus went back to heaven, mealtime was one of the hardest times for the disciples. Without Jesus there. Just like it often is for us, especially at holidays when a family member is no longer around.
And Jesus ate with one other group. He had a reputation for eating with sinners and tax collectors. But Jesus came to say and tell us that he came to save the lost. He loved everyone. And that, I imagine, was very hard for the scribes and the Pharisees to swallow.
Swallow.
That's her line, not mine. When Jesus sent out his disciples, either the 12 or the 70 on mission trips, he instructed them to be sure to eat whatever their host may put before them. Because Jesus knew that nothing can make people feel insulted or not open to God's word when their food traditions and their invitations were not accepted.
I think maybe one of the only times Jesus refused to eat is when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. The devil wanted Jesus to use his godly powers to turn rock into a bread. Even though Jesus had been fasting a long time and was really hungry, with his Father's help, he didn't give in to the temptation and power of the evil one.
Jesus loved to use food as examples in his teaching and his parables because he knew that food is something everybody can relate to. Jesus told parables about a farmer sowing his seed.
He talked about salt,
figs.
He told a story about planting a mustard seed and the big tree that came from it.
About yeast,
various crops,
and fruits and fruit trees.
Our list would certainly not be complete without the most memorable meal that Jesus ever had with his disciples. The last time he celebrated the Passover meal with them, Jesus gave them a new meal of bread and wine to eat, often in remembrance of his body and blood that would be given and shed for our salvation. This meal was also given to us. Jesus knew that food is an important tool in reaching the people of his congregation, or of his creation, and his congregation.
In fact, when you're making a list of the people that Jesus dined with, don't forget to add your own name.
Jesus, as we heard about last week, served us, gave us that wonderful meal, and then he tells us to go out and serve others. He tells us to go and share our food with those who are hungry. And that's something we did last week in Operation Inasmuch. We went out and shared our food with our community. On Sunday, we also shared two meals together. One meal here around God's table, and one meal in Fellowship Hall, a great meal of Sloppy Joe's. Then we went out and brought treats to our firefighters, police officers, and Humane Society workers, and served a great tea to honor some of our senior citizens.
See, God makes enough food for everyone, but sometimes he asks us to share our extras with others. There's this wonderful verse in Leviticus chapter 23 where the Lord commands the people of Israel, "When you harvest your crops, leave the crops standing in the corners of the field. Those are for the poor. Those are for the widow. Those are for the foreigner living in your land to remind you you were once slaves in Egypt, and I took care of you."
We can always bring in food for our one can plan here. That yellow bin in the gathering space, have you noticed how often that's just full and overflowing? And that is great. The food usually rotates between the people in Ozaukee County from Family Sharing or down in Milwaukee at All People's Church. What a great thing to be able to do a small thing that can make a huge difference in our world. When we share our food with others, we honor God. So with our focus on food starting in October, the Sunday school students are going to have a special food collection on the first Sunday of the month. So this year, we are really going to have a toucan plan. There will also be a monthly sermon about serving in God's diner to go along with the stories that the kids will study in their rotation classes. And all of you are invited to bring in food for can two or two can or whatever also.
We as the people of God at Grace, we also go out into our communities to serve food. For years we've gone to All People's to help with their Wednesday Night Alive meal program. Now they've just discontinued that program, but they're going to be starting something new, and we'll let you know what that is involved. And a couple of times a year, we have a wonderful group of volunteers who go to St. Ben's in South Milwaukee, and there they feed the homeless. All of these are things that God calls us to do.
We also bake meals for members who are sick or otherwise unable to cook for themselves for a short period of time.
And at Grace, very often, if we have a funeral, as we did a week ago, many of you are gracious enough to bake cookies or bars to bring for the family. And sometimes if there's a little leftover, the pastors and the aim get a lemon bar or something, which we really like as well.
Why did you pick lemon bars?
Because I kind of like them.
Yeah.
We've done other things, temporary things, like hamming up for the holidays, donating hams for families at All Peoples. The Buck a Chick program we did during Lent a few years ago, where we gave dollars to buy chicks for hungry people around the world. And this year we're doing Thank You, Ruth, a similar program to the Buck a Chick, sponsored by ELCA World Hunger. Later in the year, we'll be having our piggy banks collecting money. $30 buys a pig for a family who needs food and income. They can produce piglets. They can sell the piglets. They can eat the pigs. The pigs fertilize their crops. It's just a great way for us to help share what we have so that others around the world can eat.
And then there's also our fellowship events here. I mean, what's better than a potluck supper at a church, right? Where everybody brings their favorite foods? No, okay. And our Lenten meals. On Wednesday nights, we feed our bodies and we feed our spirits with fellowship and then with worship. And the donations support ministries, like on Ash Wednesday, woohoo, confirmation camp. The high school also has a chili dinner and a brunch, and in which they raise money for mission trips and boundary water trips. Last spring, we raised about $1,000 for the sick child that the youth were sponsoring.
And of course, there is the most important meal we share together, and that is Holy Communion. God says everyone is welcome at that meal. When we share that meal together, God serves us so we are strengthened to go and serve others. We're filled with the bread of life so that we can have the strength, courage, and inspiration to share our bread with the world.
Well, we don't have communion today, unfortunately, but we do have something for you to take home as a reminder of God's love and that Jesus is the bread of life. You each get one of these lovely rolls from Costco. They smell delicious, so enjoy them. Everybody, please take one. Every single person, we have tons of them. And they come with a little prayer that my family has been saying, adding on to our Come Lord Jesus prayer, as a way for us to remember that God is our sustainer and also to remember the people around the world who don't have enough to eat and that we are called to share what we have. The prayer is, blessed be God who is our bread. May all the world be clothed and fed. So you have a copy of this, and Bennett's going to demonstrate it for us now, too.
Blessed be God, who is our bread. May all the world be clothed and amen.
So even two-year-olds can say this prayer. So take this home, eat it, be filled in your body, and also be filled in your spirit as you remember that God is our bread, our sustainer. He gives us what we need each day to live in his love and in his grace. Amen.